Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Rota Report podcast, player rating special once again after the Crewe game, which Sunderland won with maximum efficiency, 1-0, probably as efficient as it gets. I know I've used that twice already, the word efficient, but it really was. It was a dominant performance, I would say, from Sunderland, one that probably deserved more goals, but ultimately didn't provide them. Today, joined by Martin Wanless. I will get that right this time, Martin. You made sure I knew how to say your name properly this time. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Yes, a nice start of the day for me here on the other side of the world.
I keep forgetting, yeah, I'm like knackered. It's 9 o'clock here and you're just getting up. Chris Wynn, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks. Good end to the day. Enjoyed that.
Good end to the day, good start of the day. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, that was good. Yep. Yeah, Sunderland won 1-0, Martin. Immediate thoughts having watched that?
Good 3 points, really. You know, we've kept another clean sheet. Nice to get another win off the back of the game at the weekend, going into Saturday's game, and it would have been nice to see a few more goals, but performance was good, I thought. And yeah, as you've already said, Gav, efficient was probably the word of the night, wasn't it?
Yeah. What stood out for you, Chris, in terms of the performance? I mean, if we're gonna other than the fact that we dominated the game, what was particularly pleasing in your eyes?
Just the control for me. Absolute kind of dominant on the ball in terms of possession. Complete control, didn't look under pressure for, 77 minutes maybe, until Crewe finally got some possession. But yeah, just the way we kept the ball. I think we're starting slowly to get rid of these kind of long, aimless balls. And the longer passes that we do play seem now to be feet, to somebody's feet, with a bit of purpose rather than, you know, 20 yards of space that nobody's near. So, yeah, just a professional performance. We looked a level above. I quite enjoyed our possession at times. I thought it was nice to see.
Yeah, it feels, doesn't it, Martin, like we're saying the same things every week. It's like the defence was brilliant. Grant Leadbitter was brilliant. You know, we dominated the ball. To be fair, that consistency is what, if we do get promoted, we'll look back and we'll say early in the season we ticked over in games. We didn't really look under threat, you know.
We do, and I think that consistency is really important for any team that's got aspirations of doing anything during the course of the season. But I think it's important to acknowledge, well, from my perspective anyway, I think, you know, you look at the Charlton game that we had. We started that game off really well. That was probably the best performance of the season. Swindon in patches on Saturday, we played some nice football. And today, for spells, some of our football, possession football, was brilliant. It wasn't necessarily as dynamic as you might see, but it was controlled, it was purposeful, and we were retaining possession, trying to work opportunities to get the ball into the box. And I think, you know, we've seen not only consistency, but we've seen a steady progression in terms of the quality of our performances over the past few weeks, which is really pleasing.
I was going to say that as well, Martin. Just the improvement week on week that, you know, we started off the Bristol Rovers game where you could see we were trying to do what we did to Crewe, but we weren't quite there yet. And I don't know whether it was just we hadn't done that, the level of work on the training field at that point to get to the point that we're at now. But it just seems that the more games we're going into the season, the more we're seeing this plan coming out and this game plan and this strategy playing out, and we're getting better at it game by game.
The only negative, I would say, and I don't want to be too negative, but I think for me was that for all the ball possession we had and all the chances we actually did create, and I think there were some good crosses into the box. It's just we don't really have anybody down the middle who I would say is capable of putting the ball away on a consistent basis. And although I felt Charlie Wyke had a better game today in terms of what he brought to the table all round, I think he, when he did drop in and hold it up and play it off, he did a lot better than he normally does. But even then, I still don't feel as though he does enough. And I'm just think I feel in the last probably since the season started, to be honest, that if we just had somebody in the box who was better than White is at just getting into good positions, would be turning these 1-0s into 3s and 4s, because there was a couple of times today, for instance, where Denver Hume was like whipping them in first time from the left-hand side, and Gooch actually, I know we'll go on to individual performances, but the two fullbacks in particular were outstanding at getting the ball into the box, and we never really looked like a threat from those situations. And you've got to wonder, haven't you, really, Martin, what will Phil Parkinson take from that? He doesn't seem like the type of manager who'll panic about the fact that we didn't put the ball away. He'll just be happy we got a clean sheet and a win. But if you're him, how do you react to that? I mean, do you see him changing anything drastically?
I think there's a couple of things to pick up on what you've said there, Gav. I think in terms of Wyke and the goal scoring threat that we've got going forward, those crosses coming in the box, Wyke doesn't get in front of his man. He's not on the move when crosses come in. He kind of waits for things to come to him. And there's a few occasions where balls did get put in the box today, and Wyke wasn't on the move. He doesn't get in front of that defender. So that's an issue in terms of if we're planning on scoring goals like that, we need that movement in the box. I think the other aspect to that is having Maguire up front with him. Maguire plays deeper than Wyke, and ideally you'd have it the other way around, where you've got somebody actually playing in front of Wyke, getting on through on goal from his flick-ons and stuff like that. So I think that there's obviously issues to be resolved there, but today's game, how many sitters did we miss? Like Bailey Rice put one over the bar, Max Powers put one over the bar. We could have easily won that game 4 or 5 nil.
Yeah.
With the chance that we create, and we should have. So yeah. If I was Parkinson, you wouldn't be that concerned, because you've got that game plan, you've set the team up, the performance has been good, we've created chances, and it's individual people not putting those chances away, which on 9 times out of 10 they would do. We saw it with Danny Graham at Charlton. Bailey, I don't know how Bailey Wright missed that one in the second half where he headed over the bar, and Max Powers, as I say, should have had one. So I don't think it's a concern. I think on another day you win that 4 or 5 nil and everybody's raving about the performance.
Yeah, something to add there, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I will say for Charlie Wyke and any of the strikers really, but just because Charlie Wyke played today, one thing they haven't had is a run of games, and strikers tend to need a run of games, not just to get a bit of sharpness and to get into it and to be able to get the run of the play. It's the other thing is to get to know in a kind of a kind of a match setting how your wide men work. I mean, do they throw it in first time? Do they cut back onto their other foot? Do they delay and take someone else on? So sometimes the striker gets a feel of what the cross is going to do. So the likes of Hume, is he going to cross it in first time? Is he going to get to the byline? So I think whether it's Wyke, whether it's Graham, whether it's Will Grigg, one of them needs a good run in the team, and then they'll start getting used to when these balls are coming into the box. And as Martin says, Wyke might start getting in front of his first man if he's expecting that ball to go in low or to the front post or whatever. So I'd like to see someone get a run up front as well.
Yeah. Right, let's go a little bit more in depth then on the performances, and we'll start with the player ratings. I'll start off. I'll go with Lee Burge, probably the easiest one to rate today, I would say. He done nothing because he had nothing to do. I think he took a few goal kicks and that's about it. So Burge, I can't really give him anything other than the default 6 today, and I don't think anyone will disagree, because he literally had nothing to do, which shows just how good we defended. It shows just how ineffective Mikel Mandron was, and we'll remember that when we last played against Mandron, when he played for Gillingham, he was brilliant and he caused us all sorts of problems at the back. And I just don't think that they offered anything up front. So that's pretty much reflected in my mark for Burge. Denver Hume, Martin, He was good today, I thought.
Yeah, look, I thought he didn't get into the game as much in the first half. A lot of our play went down the right rather than the left, and I think he's a little bit rusty in that first half. But second half, from the start of the second 45 minutes, he was on it. He was bringing that ball, carrying that ball forward, offering that threat out wide. And I think he's another one who's developing into a really, really talented player and a very important part of the team.
Yeah, well, I said this the other week. Sorry to jump in, but I said this the other week, and I stick by it. I think he's a championship player now. I just think there's championship clubs who would love Denver Hume in their team.
Oh, well, you look at how he's progressed over the last year, you know, and it's really only been since we went to this back five or back three that he's had the regular run in the side, but also it really suits him. You know, he's got that cover behind him, and I think he's had a good game tonight. Developed as game went on, I'd give him a 7 for tonight.
Yeah, I wasn't much different. I gave him a 7.5. That'll fume people up though, giving them half marks, so you're probably better off than me. Yeah, Chris, next up is Luke O'Nine, played left centre half again. I mean, I'm just blown away by this kid at times. It's amazing how he can just adapt and play wherever he's asked and look good, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the Carlisle game was the first time he went in there, and in the first 10 minutes he tried to play offside, which was a ridiculous offside, and then we gave the penalty away. So I was kind of on the fence. But, I mean, it's not, you know, you're always going to get 100%. It's just, obviously, it's experience. You know, centre-halves need experience. The more experience they've got, the know the position and what's going on there. But what I'm really kind of looking forward to is seeing if Luke O'Nine, if Parkinson's going to stick with that, because, I mean, just thinking about the way kind of Sheffield United play that, with that wide centre-half kind of going on the overlap. And you saw it a couple of times today, you know, on that left-hand side, and going beyond Denver Hume. And actually a couple of times Denver Hume almost played him in. And if we can get that partnership going down that left-hand side, that could be brilliant this season if Luke O'Nine can going to get the defensive side of it right, because that could really improve us going forward. But in terms of a rating, I thought he was my man of the match. I had him as an 8. I just thought he was all over the place. He threw his body in. He got forward. I don't think he did anything wrong. He actually impressed us in the air as well. He won a couple of fantastic headers in the air. So, yep, he was my man of the match.
Cool, yeah, I give him an 8 too. Next up is Bailey Wright, that's me. Another 8 for me, just outstanding. Like I say, Mandron never got a sniff, and I think it's because of Bailey Wright. He's just the most cultured player in the team for me, just a fantastic defender who can do everything. I mean, he played a raking 70-80-yard pass out to Hume on the left early in the game. It just shows the versatility he's got in his game. He's not just a fantastic header of the ball, a fantastic leader, great defensively, he can play as well, and he suits us throughout the back system, and just pray to God and across everything he stays fit. Martin, next up is Conor McLaughlin, who has just came out of nowhere into the team and sort of slotted in seamlessly. It's kind of a testament to Parkinson how well structured he's got the side at the minute, that he can put players in like O'Nine and McLaughlin in unfamiliar roles and keep clean sheets.
It is, and I think it's, you know, there's been talk before the last couple of games about, you know, changing formation, all that sort of stuff. That's never going to happen. Like that system's there. It's well drilled. It's practiced, and it works. And everybody knows the role in the side. And that's been shown by McLaughlin and O'Nine, as you say, coming back into the side and just slotting in without a problem. I think McLaughlin did fine tonight. I didn't have any issue with his performance today. I think he, you know, in that role, we missed Jordan Willis bombing forward from that position to join in the attacking third. I think that's the only thing that you'd really highlight, that McLaughlin doesn't deliver that Willis does in that position. I think he was solid enough. I'd give him a 7.
Yeah, done nothing wrong. Gooch, next up, Chris. He's another one playing out of position, I guess, but for a lot of people are saying on social media that might be his position now.
Yeah. Game of two halves for me, for Lyndon Gooch. Brilliant first half. Fantastic, positive every time he got the ball. Went at the fullback. Tried to take him on the outside to get the ball in the box. Came inside, tried a couple of shots on his left foot. I had him down as an 8 at half time. I thought he was having a belting game. Quieter second half, more seemed to come down our left with Denver Hume in the second half. So he was a lot quieter. He went hunting for the ball a couple of times. He missed a chance with about 20 minutes left. Maybe should have done a bit better there. But yeah, a really, really good game. He could make that right wing back position his own if Luke O'Nine makes that centre half position his own. So it could be interesting. So overall, I had him down as a 7.
Yeah, next up is Max Power, and that's me, and again, a 7. Just don't think he played. I don't think he stood out, but he did okay. He had a canny game. He was always involved whenever we were trying to get on the front foot, which is kind of Power's game. But he didn't really stand out, but nothing wrong. Didn't put a foot wrong. And I would say the fact that the midfield just kept the ball ticking over was a good thing. So 7 from me, and nothing much else to say about that. Grant Ledbetter, Martin, he's just like a new man, isn't he?
He is. No, I thought he was tremendous, especially in the first half. I mean, half time I had him down as a 8.5 or 9. He was that good. He was just controlling the game. I think as the second half wore on, we were kind of throwing a little bit more forward to try to get that second goal, and he maybe lost a little bit of impact in there, but he still had a very good second half. So I've got him down as a 7.
Yeah, I gave him an 8 in the first half, 8 in the second half. I completely agree with what you're saying. Really, I just think he's just showing now how good he actually is on the ball. There was a couple of times when some of the first time passes out of his feet and stuff, and the long range passing's outstanding. He's got the quality of a player who's played at a high level, and the way the team plays at the minute suits him, because he has players around him who do his running for him, and he just does the simple stuff when we've got the ball. Josh Scowen, Chris, he's another one who's kept his place in the team. He's pretty much been the team all season, and I think there's a reason for that. He's offering something that maybe people didn't expect. In terms of, I never knew that he could play so well in the final third. I was impressed, but how did you feel about him?
Yeah, I thought he had a decent game. Wasn't spectacular. I thought his work rate was brilliant. I think when you said he's made that position his own, I think one of the reasons he's in there is not just because he's actually producing in the final third, but actually he's such a big part of our pressing game. Because he can play in the middle of the park. If we play him in that slightly advanced position, he can press on the likes of Crew when they've got the ball at the back. And I think he worked really hard at that. The other thing he was good at, I thought him and Gooch had a good partnership on that right-hand side. They seemed to be kind of playing each other in and playing off each other, which was good to see. Not spectacular, but effective. I had him as a 7.
Yeah. Chris Maguire next, and that's me. And to be honest, I felt in the first half he was one of our most important players. He was involved in a lot. When he did get the ball, Crew just couldn't get near him. It's like sometimes when Chris Maguire's got the ball at his feet, it sticks to him like glue, and he's got a low centre of gravity, and he's very strong, and defenders and midfielders just struggle to get the ball off him. But his final product was probably lacking for me tonight. There was a few times he had shots and stuff and they were way off. So I marked him down after half time and I gave him a 7, and to be honest, when he went off, I wasn't too disappointed or surprised. I don't think he had a bad game by any means. I think he actually played all right. Just sometimes you need him to have show his quality at key moments. He did that at the weekend, maybe not tonight. Charlie White, last of the start, as Martin, he got a little bit of praise at half time, but I don't know how you felt about his all round performance.
I thought that was probably, in the first half, that was probably Charlie White's best game for us.
Right.
I think his movement with his back to goal and running the channels was a step above what we've seen from him for a lot of his Sunderland career. He was holding the ball up, he was playing it in. There was a point in the first half where he got the ball played into him and he knocked a lovely little ball around the corner to Power to put him through on goal and put a shot away. He was running the channels, holding it up, he got some crosses in, he was laying the ball back to the fullback. And I thought he looked really on his toes. And I've been very critical of White being quite static in that central third, but he was going into the channels, moving around. And I'd say, look, there's significant room for improvement, especially with his movement in the box when balls are coming in. But I thought he was really good in that first half.
Yeah.
Second half, I think he lost a little bit of impact. He got chopped down by the keeper, didn't he, in the second half, which actually thought it should have been a red card for the keeper. I don't know what you lads thought, but no, I thought Wyke did well. Overall, I gave him a 7, probably a 7.5 if we're doing halves. and he got the goal.
Well, he didn't. Sort of got it. He made the work. He made work of the defence, so that they kind of were on the back foot because of his presence, and that's why we got the goal, I guess. But I'll be honest, I thought there was aspects of Wyke's game that I enjoyed. I agree with most of what you've said there. I thought, just in terms of his all-round work rate, he looked a little bit more confident. Maybe that came as a result of scoring at the weekend. But he's just like, things like his first touch and his inability to make the late runs into the box that we need him to when the likes of Hume and Gooch are getting the ball and want to get out their feet quickly. Kind of like, that's always going to be in the back of my mind with Charlie Wyke. It's not because that's about as good as he's going to get, isn't it, really, tonight? And it's like, if he's going to play every week, you're not going to get many goals out of him. That's the thing.
I think the thing with that is that is what Charlie Wyke does, right? Mm. And yes, there was a point, certainly in the second half, where I think Hume played the ball into his feet in the box, and he had the option to just lay it off easily to somebody. I think it was Maguire on the edge of the box to have a strike, and he got caught under his feet and eventually just bobbled out. But I think the challenge for Parkinson is how you get that second striker closer to him to take advantage of those things, because Wyke's not going to be that skillful player like Niall Quinn was, where he'll just hold the ball up and flick it and play somebody in. So I think you look at what Charlie Wyke does well, which, as I say, I think he did a lot of things well, especially in the first half, and we figure out how to play off that, because it's pretty evident that Parkinson fancies him as his number one striker.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Okay, the substitutes, I'll reel off them because there was nothing really spectacular there. O'Brien, to be honest, had very little to do, but what he did do, he didn't do very well. There was one opportunity in the box where he had a chance. A good striker probably would have got a shot away, and he didn't. And it's kind of the story of his time at Sunderland so far, that just nothing's quite went right for him around the box. He's had some great opportunities to score since he came. It's just not happening for him. Dobson and Flanagan then came on late in the game, and to be honest, I'd be lying if I said I could remember anything they did, so I'm not going to give them a mark, actually. Man the match, Chris, you gave it to Luke O'Nine earlier. Martin, what about you?
Yeah, Luke O'Nine, man the match.
I think that's O'Nine all the way around, then. Yeah, I'm the same. I think it was a tussle between him and maybe Bailey Wright and possibly Gooch or Ledbetter. I mean, there was a few good performances tonight, but it was just those two runs at the end of the game for me when we needed to take the pressure off ourselves in front of the box. O'Nine just took it upon himself and went, well, one way to do it is just to run faster than everybody else into the corner. And it worked. Took pressure completely off us. And it kind of just shows what he's all about.
So at one point, I think just after one of them runs, I think Max Power went over and just gave him a big hug. I think he knew how important it was at that stage of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a lot of time from taking free kicks with his left foot as well, mind.
I love that. Yeah, I saw that. how fit is he? Because who does that at the end of a game, really, unless you're a substitute? But yeah, fantastic. Again, Luke O'Nine. I don't feel like we've marked him up because he's a player out of position who's done well. I genuinely think if that had been anybody playing like he did tonight at centre-half, we would have done the same thing. We would have given the man of the match because he was fantastic. So, yeah, I think that's us done. There isn't much else to say about the game because, really, that's about as simple as it gets. A 1-0 win, a clean sheet. Yeah, the things we could grumble about, but we're not going to, are we? It's a 1-0 win. It's a clean sheet. It's another win on the board. We're further up the table, and it's all looking good under Phil Parkinson at the minute, and I don't think you'll find many people who are going to complain, and maybe we should be giving him a little bit more credit. But yeah, thank you very much for joining us. We've gone about as long as I want to. We're trying to keep these player ratings shows nice and short so that when you listen to them in the morning or the afternoon or whatever, you're not sitting all day waiting for us to stop rambling on. So yeah, thank you very much, guys, for joining us, and everybody listening in, thank you very much for your time, and we'll catch you all down the road.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.